Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
This is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into The Drive on this Monday. Hope everybody had a good weekend. It was a hot one, but I mean, that's the way it is. And it's just getting hotter here for a few days. So be careful if you have to be out. Just be aware that the temperature, not even the heat index, the temperature is going to be approaching and exceeding 100 degrees. The arms will go up or come down. They're saying... I don't think they make it to go any lower.
Oh, okay, what's?
Yeah, I don't know. We have some nice new chairs here in the studio. I said, gee, these are too nice, really, for a control room. They really are. These are like comfortable office chairs.
We'll give it a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's true. But
no, thank you for the new chairs.
These are lovely. Yeah. And Brian's chair is set up and ready for him. As he comes in. Now those arms will stay up or go down depending on.
Now do you know what these switches do over here on the sides?
I haven't been able to try everything out yet.
Okay, maybe we can find it.
That's one of them's the eject seat. The other one is the fast swivel.
I don't want to hit the wrong one.
You're just going to start spinning round and round.
Go nuts, but there's
like a radio.
Right? Yeah, well, like a record.
Like a record.
Like a record, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Dead or alive.
That's right.
You can hear that one on W Lee. I feel like that's a
maybe. I mean, I wonder if it's in the playlist.
Is it poppy enough for W Lee, or is it a little too?
It may be a little too.
What about Blue Monday, New Order? Is that one?
They're both sort of on the edge.
They're new. And with that, let's bring in Brian Matthews, because Brian Matthews appreciates a good synthesizer breakdown.
Sure, he does. I mean, he does. He does his Monday musings, and today we're right in the heart of that today with Monday musings.
Yeah, we are. Midnight Oil.
Yeah. Yeah.
The beds are burning, of course.
The only
Midnight Oil song I can name off
the only one that I could name. Yeah. Brian mentioned a couple of others that were hits, I guess, down under.
Australia?
I didn't recognize them at all.
Well, I was, at that time, I was a little busy, had one that was trying to toddle and another one about to be on the way. So that was a tough time to be keeping up as much with the music as I had before. But how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to talking Auburn football and recruiting for the next 2 hours or whatever people want to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we're here for, for you to be able to join in. So, Brian, with Bill and Dan, as usual, on a Monday.
We've had a tremendous amount of access so far this offseason.
Dan is really jonesing. He was...
I'm going.
You were
no
like
matter
fully
what.
Expecting that by Friday or Saturday at the latest, we'd know the media opportunities for the next week. I was thinking probably yesterday.
My prediction was end of business Friday, which ended up being
very
wrong.
I didn't think
wrong.
That was the case. Still waiting. But I really thought yesterday or mid morning today, because right now we don't know if we have any opportunities in the near future.
No, at the moment, the next time we talk to anyone could be when Hugh Freeze has a game week press conference. Next week.
I mean, until they announce that. Right now, the next time we know we get to talk to somebody is after the UMass.
UMass. But I mean, at the moment, nothing is currently scheduled for the media between now and the start of the season. That could change. I expect a game week press conference next week from Hugh Freeze. We're kidding around there, but I mean, I would think that
just don't know when, what day, or what time.
Well, how did it work? Was it traditionally Tuesdays and it got bounced around?
It's been Monday or Tuesday, just depending on whether the coach likes his team to practice Sunday or Monday.
When do you want the game week press conference to be, Bill? When's the best time for you on the board? Because Tuesday middays
are tough.
What do
you mean, personally?
Yeah, if it was up to Bill Cameron.
I'd be able to get over there Monday better than Tuesday.
Is there more to talk about on Tuesdays? Like, is that your sense of where it is right now? Instead of Britton playing left, instead of Britton playing right tackle, and one of the either Tate Johnson or I guess it would be Jeremiah Wright.
Yep.
Were the guys in competition there at left guard? Maybe Britton is in fact the answer at left guard, and Miller's playing tackle. Mm-hmm.
But I also think Auburn has developed a really solid, strong two deep.
Yeah,
where they got
so.
Another four or five players where they feel like they can start and still be really talented and good.
Right, they like Connor Lue a lot.
Yep.
And he's the backup center, but he's also worked at guard. Tate Johnson was practicing at right guard the other day, mm-hmm. so now he's played both guards. Jeremiah Wright has played guard and tackle. Yeah, they've got a really good situation. Because you're going to get some guys dinged up sometimes. You hope that's all. That's
Jaden Muskrat.
That's as bad
is another
as it gets.
One
Absolutely.
Who can play guard or tackle.
Yep.
And then I would say Dylan Sindel may be a big surprise. So we just named five backups that I think they all feel really good about. And most of those guys have at least 1 year of eligibility. I mean, at least 2 years of eligibility left. Some of them much more than that.
I want to get back to the run defense for a second, because I pulled up last year's conference-only rushing defense stats. So everyone in the SEC played 8 conference games. And how they finished on the ground. Auburn was one of 4 teams in the conference last year that allowed 200 or more yards per game in run defense.
You can't do that and expect you're going to have to outscore people. You're going to have to score a lot if you do that.
South Carolina, Arkansas, and A&M were the other 3 teams that allowed more than 200 yards per game on the ground in league play last year. Auburn gave up 1,614 yards. In 8 SEC games, 319 attempts. Teams ran for just over 5 yards a carry on the ground against Auburn. Georgia, the best rush defense in the conference last year. Listen to this, Bill. 8 SEC games last year, Georgia's defense, 215 attempts, 662 yards. Teams ran for 3.08 yards per attempt against Georgia. Only 2 rushing touchdowns allowed in 8 SEC games by Georgia's run defense. Georgia allowed just under 83 yards per game on the ground in 8 SEC games last year as a defense.
Yeah, well, if you're allowing more than twice what another team does, I mean, if a team comes in and rushes for, you know, 2.5 times as many yards as you do, you're not usually in good shape.
I think history will go back on last year's Georgia team as one of the more dominant teams that we'd seen in recent memory in college football. Between the defensive statistics, Stetson was one of only, we looked it up, right? There have only been 7 or 8 5,000-yard seasons in the history of the SEC. Stetson Bennett had one of them last year. I mean, so it's a historically great defense and one of the great passing offenses. I mean, even that LSU team in 19, which was, you know, maybe the best offense we've ever seen in the conference with Joe Burrow and those two receivers. It's crazy to think, like, the two best receivers going into this year in fantasy football, like, and maybe recognized as the top two receivers in the NFL right now, were the two receivers from that 2019 LSU team, Jefferson and Chase. Like, four seasons later, they're the top two guys in the league. But getting back to Auburn, that's a dire. A dire situation. Yeah. The rushing defense.
That's where it has to be better. So that obviously has to be a concern. And like we were saying, don't know that it'll be answered for sure for a few games.
And that's a defense that had Colby Wooden and Derek Hall playing last year, and you lose those guys to the NFL from a defense that still surrendered those kind of stats. So you lose a couple of really talented pieces from that defense. You have to move on without them.
And Owen Papo.
And Owen Papo as well. You're right. Three guys drafted from that defense in the NFL draft last year. Derek Hall had a nice looking sack in the preseason over the weekend for the Seahawks. Yeah, you're right. Well, that was the year before, wasn't it?
Oh, was it? You know, the last 2 years are such a blur. Maybe so. But anyway, yeah, I mean, Auburn's brought in a lot, you know, quite a few new faces. We've talked about it, 40 plus new players on offense and defense. And the secondary, it sounds like Coach Freeze, Brian, is much more pleased with the secondary. He'd call them out.
He did.
Or up, I guess, a little while back.
Yeah, Freeze, has sort of decided that he needed to, you know, step up and be the bad guy, be the practice jerk, as he called it.
I've never heard that. Never heard that phrase.
But I kind of like it.
Well, a bad cop, as some folks. Right? You know, for a long time he's having to play good cop. I think right now this team needs a bad cop.
Yeah, and I don't think that means anything bad or you know, I just think he sees the way at certain positions. Maybe they've got a coach there that's the good cop, right? So he needs to step in there and be the bad cop at that particular position. So that's just the way it works on football teams sometimes. But he did challenge the defensive backfield. I think they're a unit that felt like they were really good and is really talented, but needed a kick in the butt to make sure they
achieve. Yeah, he talked about sometimes when you're really good, you might loaf a little bit. I think he said cruise is the word he mentioned.
It's the unit that seemed to have the clearest cut group of starters on the entire team too,
yeah,
right?
Like and it's still the same guys.
It still is, which is maybe part of the reason why, if you want to, if you're Hugh Freeze and you're worried about those guys coasting or not practicing as hard as they could, in part it's because going into this fall camp, correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, you've got the depth chart. You looked at DJ, Keontae, Nehemiah Pritchett, Zion Puckett, and Jalen Simpson as your top five options in the secondary. That hasn't changed.
No.
Over the course of fall camp, so maybe those were the, you know, he said they needed to step it up, not out of a threat that one of them was going to get replaced, but just because they need them to be at their best. That unit has a lot of potential going into this year.
You know, you need your starters showing what they did to earn those jobs. You don't need your starters, your experienced guys, to be just coasting through practice, because that's going to set the example for the younger guys.
Yeah, I was going to say setting the example, setting the standard, right? You would hope that your best players are your best players in practice, and it shows everyone else how they need to handle things. And there have been some offensive players cited as that kind of guy. And I've heard Marcus Harris suggested as like an old, you know, these teammates that have been around long enough that now they're, you know, half coach, half player in practice, and showing their younger teammates how it's supposed to be done. So, yeah, it sounds like the I don't know. I mean, what was the story for you coming out of the scrimmage? Is the Isaiah Miller emergence? Is it the I mean, I thought not to be someone who wants to point out his own answer or his own question to Hugh Freeze. Although I did tell him that Peyton Thorne, I couldn't decide on starting or you named him the starter or the starting quarterback. So I think I asked about Peyton Thorne being the startering quarterback when I was talking.
That's good. He's the starter.
He's the starter and quarterback.
Starterer.
But I asked about what that means for Robbie Ashford, because we were talking about it last week. Mm-hmm. And Peyton, I don't know. People have these ideas about a two quarterback system, you know, and what that means and what it could mean. And often you just spend that time waiting for the backup to play, and he never does because the starter, you know, keeps his job. Hugh Freeze has used backup quarterbacks before to supplement the run game. And the way he's talked about Robbie Ashford all offseason, especially since naming Peyton Thorne the starter, makes me wonder, like, is there a role, and what does that role look like for Robbie Ashford beyond being the guy if something happens to Peyton Thorne?
Well, if you look at Auburn's first three games, there's an opportunity right there for Robbie Ashford to probably get some major playing time as the backup and prove what he can do, right? You know, take the bull by the horns. You know, if he goes out there and executes and shows he's improved and runs the offense the way the coaches see it, I do think that will open up things for him to have a bigger role in this team going forward. If not, you know, Peyton Thorne's the starting quarterback. He runs this RPO offense. He knows it, you know, really, really well. He's run it for several years in Michigan State, and I think going back to high school. So, you know, when you get into games against A&M and Georgia and LSU, does Robbie Ashford have a package or a big part in those games? I think that depends on what happens the first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, he'll get the opportunity. Sort of like we were talking about with the run defense. I mean, you'll know for sure. You'll see what gets the opportunity. You know what happened to me? I'd raised my hand. The two questions before I got the mic, well, not yours, but the two just before that were questions. My first question was going to be about the offensive line. Somebody asked it, and I'm like, okay. Got to think of another question because the mic's coming my way. And then another question got asked, and I was left with, okay, well,
we didn't get to
talk about the return game after this, you know,
no big surprise
the time
there.
Before. No, but I just wanted to,
yeah, it's
you know,
good to know.
But, I mean, it's tough. You don't want the mic handed to you and go,
I got nothing.
and for folks who I've waved off Kirk before. I've given him the check. Please,
I know, but it's,
no
it's valuable when you get you get the mic and you
we're
ask
the you know we've emerged as the go to guys too. I mean, so like because we're not transcribing.
That's true. We don't have to worry about what's going on in our lap.
Yeah, we're not transcribing and tweeting during this thing. So we've got a moving right along. And you know what? The answer to that question about the returners. Brian Battee, an All-American. They're going to try to feature him. Probably another running back next to Brian. Could be Damari. Could be Jarquez. Could be Jeremiah.
Could be Jeremiah Cobb.
Yep. Yeah, wouldn't rule it out.
No.
Keontae, top option at punt returner going into the season.
Yes, and then was Caleb, Jay Fair the second
I believe
one
Caleb Burton has been mentioned.
Caleb Burton, yeah, that's right. Caleb Burton, yes.
Which would make sense because Caleb Burton's been working on that Monarch, the Robo QB, and as we were reading up on, Brian, what do you know about the Monarch? Do you know what we're talking about?
I know nothing about it.
So it's the robotic QB they bought last season. This was a thing developed. It's a fascinating story. It was developed during COVID because some NFL receivers needed to be able to work on the stuff without a quarterback around. A human quarterback, and so these engineers developed it and got around to funding, and now it's this thing that's pretty commonplace around major NFL college football programs. Auburn has one that Caleb Burton, we found out about this from Philip Montgomery. Caleb Burton has been using the Monarch QB all offseason. He's been like the most skilled guy on it. Camden Brown told us some more details about this. Apparently it can simulate punts and kicks, so you can shoot the thing way up in the air and catch punts that way. So not surprised to hear Caleb Burton mentioned as somebody who is apparently, even though he's just in his first couple of months on the team, apparently he's made a move to be an option at punt return beyond Keontae Scott.
Interesting. So, back to the running game, I'm really high on what Auburn's going to be able to do offensively running the ball. And I'm not as concerned as maybe others are about their run defense. I think part of the problem last year was they didn't play any depth at all. And maybe because they didn't think the backups were that good. I know a lot of those backups are gone now and they've replaced them with transfers. But I feel like they've got more depth this year. And I think they have a willingness to play those guys and get them in the game and get them experience early. So they'll be better as the season moves forward.
We need to get to our first break of the afternoon. Love for you to join in. Hour number one of The Drive, brought to you as usual by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And they're also the sponsor of our hotline. One of the ways you can get through to us by calling 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast. However you listen to podcasts, go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. That's all presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
We'll be right back. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
Kia of Auburn welcomes you to the Dog Day.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Drew at the controls, we'd love for you to join in. As, 12 days until Auburn plays, we got college football this week.
We got SEC teams.
We do have.
Well, one.
You got Vandy
and SEC.
Vandy
team.
And Hawaii. Play this weekend
on the island, right? Headed out to the campus out there on Hawaii. I imagine there will be quite a bit of. I think there will probably be some fundraising for the wildfires as well. The Maui deal. You know, that's still there was a natural disaster in California. Very very recently. But the Hawaii thing is still very much on people's minds. Out there, but yeah, Vanderbilt going out to start the season. Wild to think it's like game week in parts of you don't like week zero?
I mean, I do, but it's a shame they couldn't get one really good matchup that everybody cares about. I mean, I'm looking at all these games and I just
Hey, you get to scout a couple of Auburn's opponents
playing against each other. Yep.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, wouldn't you think that there's reluctance from like big time programs to play, especially against another big time program in week zero? Would there be, they would want more time to prepare or more time to? I don't know. I mean, it's
there may be, but ESPN basically does whatever they want to do and tells teams to do what they want them to do. So I'm kind of surprised by it.
That's true. We had Florida Miami in week zero a couple of years ago, and I thought that would start off a tradition of having a couple of brand names facing off on that first Saturday of the season, but I don't really think we have that this week. I think it's just sort of the draw of college football alone, you know, is the hope that you're going to have just any bowl subdivision teams in action can draw an audience that first week before you have to start ramping things up in later weeks.
I was thinking, the game's in Nashville.
Oh, is that right? Okay, they're not playing in Hawaii. Okay.
Yeah.
For some reason,
I just wanted to double check.
Did they play in Hawaii last year? Is that what I'm thinking? Didn't they make that trip?
If Vandy didn't work a deal where you're going to play Hawaii where you at least get one trip out there, then shame on them. So, I don't remember if they played. I don't recall.
Vanderbilt opened the season in Honolulu, 63-10 win in 2022.
Okay.
So this is the
return. This is the return trip to Nashville.
Last year's game was
probably
at Vandy.
So Hawaii. I wouldn't doubt that they try to do some fundraisers for the Fires, but.
Yeah, I would still think that's probably, especially on TV. You know what I mean? Like donating some of the time to that will probably be in the will probably be in the cards. But Vanderbilt hosting and I know some folks on the internet were having some fun with this, but there are some renovations like still going on at Vanderbilt Stadium, right? Or there were
up until
like because this, somebody posted they'd be playing at a high school stadium. Remember somebody tweeted?
Yeah,
that.
I mean, weren't they already kind
of? Naheo.
It's a big high school stadium.
Though. Knoxville pranksters were saying that they're gonna have to move the game. I don't know the status of those renovations, but hopefully they can get everything. Hopefully they can get everything done in time because they've got a football game in just a couple of days.
Yeah, so there is college football this weekend. Auburn High getting started this week. Man, I tell you what, Auburn and Opelika, Opelika hosting Thompson. Auburn's going to go to Hoover. So I mean, that's serious way to jump into the season there.
Yeah, no doubt.
But Auburn getting ready. We were talking about the offensive line a little while ago, Brian. I mean, are there any other? I mean, are there positions where there are really any questions, really questions in your mind? Maybe the first one out there, but I'm not really, concerned about who's starting because I think we've got a pretty good idea who's playing at most positions.
I would say starting-wise, I'm still not 100% on the receivers, right?
Right.
I think Shane Hooks is one of the outside receivers. I think Javarius is starting at the slot, but maybe it will be Jay Fair. Maybe he can pass him. We'll see.
Yeah.
And then I don't know the other
outside guy. I think we know four or five that you're going to see a lot.
Who are the top three receivers on the Bill Cameron depth chart right now?
Right now I've got – let me see because I had adjusted it. But I had Shane Hooks. I think I had Jay Fair ahead
of
Var. Yeah. And then I actually had Amari Kelly just ahead of Jair Shorter after what
could
we
be.
Saw the other day.
Could be.
Where's Burton on that one? Is he?
He is sort of a 2A at two spots, inside and out.
Yep.
And Mardner would be in.
Mardner is behind Shane Hooks.
Yep. I think that's how it lines up now.
I mean, we got eight names out of Hugh Freeze talking about the receivers.
And
on
Camden
Saturday.
Brown is starting to make a move if he can stay out there and practice.
Oh, he's one of the eight. I mean, I would say Coy Moore.
He was like the eighth. Remember, he named seven, Coy. And then there were three guys that hadn't practiced much: Malcolm Johnson, Coy, and then Camden was the third, but he's moved back into practice.
Camden has practiced for most of last week and caught a touchdown pass. They shared on social media in the scrimmage on Saturday. So that's good to see Camden Brown involved. And Coy Moore and Malcolm Johnson Jr. would be the two scholarship receivers that look to be on the outside of the rotation right now. But that you got to keep in mind what Malcolm's, I feel like, has had a sort of a star-crossed Auburn career so far, battling different kinds of injuries and not being able to make it on his potential. Coy Moore hasn't been out there. I don't think we've gotten to see him once, right? I think Hugh Freeze said he hasn't
not at
practiced.
Full speed.
He was there the day I was there. We've seen him in a
yellow jersey catching some passes, but not really going through all the drills.
Right. So they're clearly taking it easy with Coy Moore. I guess the question would be, if it's eight guys to start the season, the four newcomers and four holdovers from last year, will it still be eight guys?
It's more likely around six, three, four, five
games into the season. Yeah,
I mean that's just usually the case. That is, I guess, unless nobody steps up, or a bunch of them do.
But I would think, yeah, on the first two drives of the game, I would think those are eight players that I would expect to see against UMass in a little more than you know, a week and a half from now. I mean, you think Mardner, Hooks, Shorter, and Burton, the four newly arrived transfers, along with Jay Fair, Amari Kelly, Camden Brown, three second-year players, right? All three of those guys were true freshmen last year. Yep. Fair, Kelly, and Brown,
yep,
and Javarius, who's the you know the elder statesman of the group, been around a while. But that's a and that's a unique, like, those are eight receivers with different different skill sets.
Oh,
different,
right.
I mean, different body types in there. You know, and yeah, I think that'd be an interesting group to see in action.
The other area that I'm not sure who the starters are necessarily is the defensive line. You got Keldrick Falk and Mosiah Nasili-Kite. Is that correct?
I think it's Kite, isn't it?
Kite?
Yeah, I think it's Kite.
I don't know who starts among those two at defensive end. I feel strongly that Marcus Harris is going to be your starting defensive tackle. Nose guard could be Justin Rogers or Casey Jones.
I think they both play a lot.
Definitely.
I don't know about linebacker.
Well, especially if
Keys.
If Austin Keys
is banged up, right?
Healthy.
Is Cam Riley your backup, Mike?
I would,
probably, maybe.
Yeah.
Nixon. I mean, there's Larry.
I think Larry's more of a Willie with Eugene Asante, who I think is probably the starter at Will right now.
Which is one of the that's a nice story.
Yes,
I mean, there's
nice.
A guy that I think a lot of us had sort of said, well, you know, maybe he can help on special teams.
Yeah,
I mean, at the beginning of spring. I feel like there would have been several linebackers ahead of Eugene Asante on your list of contributors going into this year, and what he's been able to do over the last couple of months is really impressive.
It really is.
I mean, when you talk to defensive coaches about it, they're really impressed too with what he's been able to put behind him and how he's been able to get himself ready for this season.
And he can really run. I think people are going to see him out there on defense because the way they attack and use the linebackers, you're going to notice him early.
And we didn't mention a name that I think has picked up a little bit of steam. I thought he had an impressive practice when I saw him running with the first team, I don't know, a couple days in. And there's been more Steven Sings buzz of late. And
well, apparently, I mean, he was the pass rush.
Yeah.
Last Saturday.
Jalen, I think, turned his ankle or something, McLeod. So I think he sat or was limited or whatever. So, yeah, that gives Sings. But that is a position that's razor thin, in my opinion, and they got to stay healthy there.
I think McLeod and Sings are probably their two best pass rushers from that position.
So. Yeah.
McAllister's more a set the edge defensive end.
Yeah.
All right, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. We're going to get to that when we come back. Terry joins us on the Kia of Auburn Hotline as we continue here on the Monday Drive.
Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday, 20 minutes away from 5 o'clock, and let's get to the Kia of Auburn Hotline. And Terry, hey, Terry.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Dan. Brian, you guys were talking about the change on the offensive line. I can't remember what you said. I was having some radio frequency trouble on my end, not on y'all's in my end. Would you mind reiterating what you said?
Yeah, so it sounds like Isaiah Miller, who's a junior college transfer that came in January, has had a terrific fall camp, and he started to come around in spring, too, at right tackle, and they feel like he's one of the best five and want to get him in that starting lineup, which means you got to move Gunnar Britton somewhere. So they moved him over to left guard where Jeremiah Wright and Tate Johnson were competing. So it looks to me like, and it's not set yet in stone, but it looks to me like Britton will be starting at left guard and Isaiah Miller will be starting at right tackle.
Yeah, one of the things that Jake Thornton, I mean, he had recruited Isaiah Miller to Ole Miss before he came to Auburn, and he told us in the spring, then again this fall, that Isaiah Miller, Tutal is what they call him, said he's going to be a pro. He loves his feet. He's got great explosion. So, I mean, he's a guy they really, really are high on and feel like that gives them a really strong pair of bookend tackles with Dylan Wade on the left side.
Now, I assume they call him too tall. He's not 5'9".
Nah, he's.
But
it's
he's
funny.
Only about
he's 6'5".
Yeah,
he's 6'5". He's not. He's not quite as tall as Gunnar Britton, but he just got that nickname. I guess you know he was probably taller than most everybody that he grew up around.
Right, and there was offensive lineman Auburn a few years ago. I think I want to say the King Dunlap.
Oh, yeah, he was 6'10". Was
real, but he looked even taller than he was.
Yeah.
Here's a good quote from you, Freeze, on Too Tall Miller. He says, his body and his feet are really, really good. He's going to be a really, really good offensive lineman. You know these catapult deals? His explosion is really, really good. He's strong. He's got explosion. He's got flexibility. We need to keep recruiting guys like that. That tells you what they think about him,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Now, I noticed by you guys going by the starting lineup, or projected starting lineup, I guess you'd say. Did y'all not say that Jeremiah Wright? At what times last year, I thought he was one of Auburn's best offensive linemen.
He is one of the more talented guys. He's aggressive, sometimes a little over. But, I mean, I think consistency is the thing they're looking for out of Jeremiah. He can dominate sometimes in run blocking. He's still got to get better at pass blocking.
And I think the best thing about Jeremiah is now he's settled in at offensive line. Mm-hmm. He's got another year of eligibility left. And he's going to be one of the, you know, the sixth, seventh, eighth, somewhere in there with an opportunity to play if somebody gets hurt. So he's going to get to play this fall, I believe, and have a chance to be a starter next year.
Well, Bill, always heard you like your offensive line have a little bit of a nasty streak, but they can be,
it can be a bad thing, too.
Yeah,
well, I mean, that's one of the things. I tell you what. One of the things Coach Freeze was not happy with was all the flags on Saturday. And he said, the officials, it's been a long time for them. They were a little flag happy. But he said every time he felt like it seemed like just about every time there was a big play, there was a flag for either holding or block below the waist or offensive pass interference, things like that. And that's something they have to get cleaned up. And he was not happy at all with that. That's something that'll get you watching a little bit from the sideline if you're constantly getting called, you know, for holding or something like that.
Exactly. Appreciate it, guys. You have a great day.
Appreciate it, Jerry.
Xavier Miller was committed to Ole Miss for much of last season. Jake Thornton jumping over from Ole Miss to Auburn.
Oh, he really, really likes him.
Yeah, presumably played a big role in Miller deciding to go to Auburn instead of Ole Miss. But he could be. I mean, here we are a week away from game week. And he might be the starting right tackle at the moment.
Yeah, it sure looks like. We had been hearing about that since the first couple of days of practice. We've been hearing Too Tall Miller, and it looks like he's continued that. You know, sometimes you wonder. Well, when they get in pads, when they get over there in practice, when they get to the stadium, he's a guy that apparently just has continued to show up.
And I don't know, I mean, I guess some of it could be a desire to get Gunnar Britton work at other spots in case they need him at other spots, but you also need to get the left guard work if Gunnar Britton is going to be your right tackle, and the fact that Gunnar Britton, you know, is working there, like that to me, I mean, because you would think either Jeremiah Wright or Tate Johnson would be the option at left guard if they decide to go with Britton at tackle and to see Britton playing to see Britton doing that instead I think it's an interesting development on this offensive line, because we spent so much for thinking, is it Tate Johnson or Jeremiah Wright at left guard, and it turns out, in fact, it's it could be Gunnar Britton.
334-321-1390. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll sort of get on track. We'll get to our final break. We'll talk a little recruiting when we come back. We'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 as we continue here on the Monday Drive.
Life isn't made for joint or orthopedic pain. It's made for living, for family.
Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive. 10 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon. Bill and Dan joined by Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And what wasn't the news Auburn fans were hoping for over the weekend from Cam Franklin?
It was not. He picked Ole Miss. We thought it was going to be Auburn or Tennessee about a week or two ago, but it sounds like Ole Miss really made a late push.
Yeah.
And that happens. This is a different era of football. It's the NIL era. And I think we're going to see more of this, right? Kamarion Franklin is an in-state kid. He's a five-star.
Yeah, he's a guy that the closest school to him is Ole Miss.
And you can expect maybe an in-state school like that to pay a premium or to offer a premium.
To keep their guys at home.
That's right. So this happens sometimes. I'm not saying that's the only reason he picked Ole Miss, right? I'm sure he has a lot of good reasons to pick Ole Miss. But They did win that one. We got one tonight. Caleb Falk, the younger brother of Auburn freshman Keldrick Falk, is choosing, I believe, in another hour and 10 minutes or so.
Yep, should be a little after 6.
And I think it's Auburn or Alabama for him. And I, at this time, I really, really, really like Auburn's chances.
Auburn has had some success with younger brothers of current or recent Auburn players. Yep. Of late, right?
That's a bit of a disappointment if you don't.
Yeah. But there have been.
There's no guarantee.
Well, and has Auburn has Zeke Walker's that's Solomon, right?
Yep. He's committed to Auburn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you had Zeke Walker.
That was a close one too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. South Carolina's still a little.
They're not happy.
Yeah.
Blockton, right? Is Marcus Harris's younger brother? He's committed. And is there someone else, or is that everyone
out of the ones for this year?
I think of the current commitments. Yeah. Is there anyone who's I can't remember if anybody else is a younger sibling of a current Auburn player. But that's
and another thing on
could get a third one tonight.
Jacaleb is Keldrick is up to close to 290 now, right? He's a definitive defensive end.
He's like 50 pounds heavier than he was a year ago.
I think Jacaleb could end up staying at Jack and being a 265, 270-pound young man with a lot of athleticism. I mean, a lot of athleticism. So, whereas Keldrick always looked like he was going to grow into a defensive end or maybe even D-tackle one day, to me, I think Jacaleb has a chance to be that pass rusher on the edge.
Do we know much about Keldrick's injury? Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise that he was held out. I don't know if it
was it his
do we
hand.
Think, do we, I thought it was lower body.
It was something. It was interesting that Hugh Freeze said he warmed up and thought he was going to scrimmage, but they decided to hold him out. So and that also makes me think that if it were a big game, that he might have played.
It's always a good sign that it's not as serious. And I don't think Auburn's had a serious injury in camp so far, which is great.
Again, cross your fingers. Yep. But, I mean, there are quite a few schools that have.
I mean, he's a true freshman, so I don't want to go too far with this. But I am so excited to see Keldrick Falk in the first half of the season. See, this is a guy. Because a defensive lineman who looks like he belongs as a true freshman in this league, like playing and looking like they, a contributing true freshman defensive lineman.
Right.
Like usually.
Could be a starter, but I mean, for sure contributing.
But that, usually what that means for the rest of their careers is that you've got something really special on your hand. Now, that's not always. Like, I mean, there are some times where you got to play a true freshman out of necessity, mm-hmm. and he doesn't really grow into superstardom. But Brian, where are you on Keldrick Falk as one of the more
future All-American, in my opinion? That's just, I'm sorry to put those expectations on the young man, but
doesn't want to put too much on him. Yeah. Just I mean,
that type, that caliber of a player.
He won't say
that.
This year, at least.
Right. No.
See,
although he was
an All-American,
I believe he's
already been
a
preseason freshman.
There you go.
Yeah, preseason freshman All-American. That was revealed, I think, earlier today. That there's some list of including Keldrick on it.
This is what I like about Keldrick. He is extremely talented, a great combination of size and quickness and all those things. But the other thing the other part of that is, and we hear this from his teammates and from his coaches, not just one, but all of them, about how hard he works, the effort he puts in, how he wants to be great, how he takes extra time with Jeremy Garrett to call him at night to answer questions. If he messes up, he wants to understand why and correct it right away. He's just that type of mentality. And those type of players with the gifts that he has more often than not turn out to be great players.
And here's a guy from not too far down the road that the last staff had just sort of
given up on.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
He was going to Florida State.
Unbelievable.
Until Hugh Freeze showed up. And Hugh Freeze and those guys did a great job to flip him. It's funny, but three of the last guys they added in that class,
three of the freshmen you're going to see,
Connor Liu, could all be all SEC type, all American types. In the future at Auburn, I just cannot say enough about the difference that Hugh Freeze and his staff are making in recruiting.
True freshman that you think could contribute in the first half against UMass?
Well, you mentioned two right there. I mean,
Keldrick Kindly for sure. Let me think about this.
First half against UMass, Jeremiah Cobb.
Yeah,
possibly. Yeah,
maybe special teams, maybe on a kickoff return or something like that. But
Darren Reed is probably in that rotation, I think. At defensive tackle, potentially, as a true freshman. I think he's one to watch there.
I was wondering, I mean, Champ Anthony's not a true freshman, right?
He's a redshirt.
No, but he's a guy that nobody's talking about.
Colton Hood's going to at least play special teams, I think.
Yep. And then I'm not sure. I think Connor Lou will probably play four games. We'll see if he plays.
Yeah, but it's tough to project first half for an offensive lineman.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Connor Liu, I guess, would be the other one. Well, you know what? For that matter, Dylan Senda would be a true freshman that could be, you know, if part of the could be in the second unit. You know,
I think he is.
I think Dylan Senda might be on my second team right now. So that's another one where, Terrence Love maybe more of a project down the line. That's another defensive
Terrence
back.
Love, C.J. Johnson, Sylvester Smith are guys that might play some special teams, but I think you're sort of too deep back there right now without having to play them. That'll be interesting.
Auburn's got some experienced guys who may be playing their last year of college football in the secondary.
Guys behind them. I mean, you've got Donovan Kaufman and Marquise Gilbert, you know, guys like that.
You could lose all five starters.
Caleb Wood.
And a couple of backups.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's of course, that's why they recruited it so hard and continue to recruit that position so hard.
J.C. Hart.
Another guy that
could be early. Could be special teams.
Yeah.
If they start emptying the bench a little bit,
I think
later in the game,
any cornerback or safety they think could be a starter next year, they want to get him on the field and play him and get him that experience.
All right, we're halfway done here on the Monday Drive. Love for you to join in. Again, the number to get you through is 334-321-1390. Stick with us for hour number two.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio with Drew at the controls. And we'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, it's game week for college football, week zero. Why is it week zero? Why isn't it just week one?
Because they don't want a bunch of kickoff games in week two. So since most of the teams,
care.
I think that's what's going on. Since most of the teams are kicking off in what we call week one, they don't want to call week zero week one because so many teams are having their first game a week later. So they want week one to feel like the kickoff. And so this is sort of like
the NCAA tournament now. Round one is the play-in game.
Yes,
they go ahead and call it round one, but in football, we're going to call it. Why don't they do that? Why don't they call it round zero of the NCAA tournament?
Because the NCAA tournament people don't want it would be even more demeaning to the teams that already have to go to Dayton.
Yeah, you're playing in the zero round.
If
you're playing in week zero, then if you're playing in week zero, the stats shouldn't count. Is the way I feel about it. If it's not week one, then it's not the regular season. It's like a preseason game.
Unless it's
an exhibition game.
I think this is a compromise. They want more college football. They want the season to be longer, but teams don't want to be kicking off in August around the country. They don't want to play, you know, their first game of the season.
A lot of teams sure don't want to be playing in this kind of weather.
Exactly. And so, you know, some teams want it. So they want to keep week one, you know, the season opening week, however they can. But there's also real college football this weekend, including, I was doing a little more research on Vanderbilt's stadium situation. Yeah, the renovations will be going on, probably not during the game, but they will be continuing.
Maybe.
A
little noise there in the stands.
Yeah, you could have some hard hat, you know, some hard hat fellas in both end zones. But Vanderbilt Stadium is under construction. And, yeah, I don't know, I was reading you guys some of the details, right, including the road locker room across the street from the stadium this year for teams that are going to play, including Auburn, by the way, who will be playing in Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt. That's late in the season, right? It's November, I believe, when Auburn goes up to Nashville. So yeah, it's getting closer, and Vanderbilt will have that stadium the under construction stadium will be featured when they play Hawaii on Saturday.
Yeah, so that's one. Let's see. You've got Davy Notre Dame. We mentioned a couple of Auburn opponents, UMass and New Mexico State. And we learned how to pronounce the UMass quarterback's name.
Did you, oh, now I got to do it?
Yes, you do.
Pumichan, right?
Pumichan,
yeah. Pumichan. He's a former Clemson quarterback, Tyson Pumichan, now up at UMass.
Was he at Clemson and Georgia Tech? Is this like his third school?
That could be right. That might be right.
I saw that in the tweet it said former Clemson / Georgia Tech quarterback.
I was looking at, I think CBS did a piece about out-of-conference schedules this year, and you've got some you've got some really interesting out-of-conference matchups slated for the season. But I think it was the Big Ten. I mean, there's a dearth of quality out-of-conference matchups from around that league. Aside from,
well, they're so proud of playing a 9-game conference schedule.
Aside from Ohio State and Notre Dame, who play early in the season, there's really, you know, most of the marquee out-of-conference games around the country involve teams from outside the Big Ten.
334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. One of the ways to get you through to us here on The Drive.
Yeah, you can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Brett gets us started this hour. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. I heard Zach Blackerby say that Marcus Harris got hurt Saturday and toward the beginning of the scrimmage and didn't participate anymore. Do you know what the deal is with him?
Well, Hugh did not mention him. He went into detail and gave us a list of the players that were injured, and Marcus may have got banged up a little bit, but you know, he's one of those guys who doesn't have to prove an awful lot. So, I mean, I haven't heard of anything that would be a concern for him being ready for the season.
Yeah, okay, well, if that's the case, then starting linebacker, the two starting ends, and the starting defensive tackle wasn't out there, so I don't really know how we can tell how well the running game really did and how poorly the defense did stop the run.
That's a great point. That's absolutely a great point. I said, but you still have to wonder after how poorly Auburn was at stopping that poor Auburn was last year at stopping the run. The one thing that's really good to hear, it's great to hear that your center is dominating the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
It's a concern, though, when I think about, well, what about the nose, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so we heard that at times they were talking about playing Jason Jones and Rogers at the same time. Has there been much of that?
I believe only when there's been some short yardage, goal line type.
I wouldn't rule it out, though. I mean, if this team struggles to stop the run, they'll try anything.
Oh, yeah.
And that might include putting the two biggest guys on the team next to each other to clog things up in the middle.
Yeah. And last thing, on Rogers, has he gotten in better shape, condition, whatever? Because I think he was at 340-something. Toward the beginning of camp.
Yeah, I believe you're right. I think he's down around 10 pounds or so. He looks to be in better shape than when we first saw him.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, Brett. Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, when you're missing as many players as Auburn was defensively, that is a very good reason, not just an excuse for why the offense could have the upper hand.
Auburn had a couple of conference games last year where they only played five defensive linemen the entire game. One of them was pointed out to me this weekend. Ole Miss ran 89 plays against Auburn last year, and Auburn played just five defensive linemen the entire game against the Ole Miss Rebels, a team trying to do that. So that's the importance of depth on your defensive line, because without it, asking defensive linemen to play that number of snaps against a team that's going to attack the run, it's vitally important for Auburn. And even guys that we haven't heard as much about, right? Like, I feel like there's going to be – well, let's talk about it, Brian. I mean, defensive line right now, who looks like a contributor? Playing the sort of like playing the game of going into UMass early on, first half. Like, who do we think we're seeing?
Well, Keldrick Falk and Mazziah. Nasile Keita, right, at a defensive end, are certainly playing. Marcus Harris.
I think Lawrence Johnson.
Lawrence Johnson, yes. And maybe a Zeke Walker, Daron Reed at defensive tackle. At nose, definitely Jason Jones and Justin Rogers. And then at...
It's too early for Jameson Travis. Just got here. I mean, it could be.
Yeah, he's trying to work his way in, but I think he'll play.
Yeah,
I think he'll play.
And he can play nose or D tackle. Yeah. So you got another big body guy in there.
Yeah, and then at defense at the Jack, you're going to get Elijah and Jalen and Steven Sims. Yep.
And then, well, they may have to play Brenton Williams, a true freshman there, just because you're going to play two on the field at one time and you need more depth. You got to develop that depth there. So
you would hope you could get UMass into passing situations.
Right.
And try to get more rush. Hey, I'm glad to see we have our media opportunities for the week.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yep. How Wednesday, sometime midday, depending. I mean, I understand what Shelley's talking about. They have to check their schedules and see what works for them. Gee.
So
sometime midday, Wednesday.
I should mention then on the air, I can make the announcement too. So I will not be here Wednesday because I'm going.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going with the Justins to watch pro wrestling in Atlanta on Wednesday night.
Who are y'all watching?
We're going to see AEW. So All Elite Wrestling, which is the promotion that runs on the Warner Brothers Discovery Networks, TBS and TNT. They're running a show at Wembley Stadium this weekend. They have sold 80,000 tickets.
Dan's going to Wembley.
I'm not going to London. but they've sold it. It could be.
I thought you'd already gotten a pass.
The most attended professional wrestling event in history was in North Korea in the 90s. Attendance was mandatory. Mm-hmm. There were two different shows where they made 100,000 people go to two different North Korean shows. Aside from that, if you don't count those two. I think the biggest, the most attended single show in professional wrestling history is somewhere in the 80s, as far as 80,000 in the neighborhood of that. This one could approach that. And it's, again, without a government forcing people to attend like North Korea did in the 90s. So AEW is running a show this weekend in London. Wednesday night, they'll be running their last television before the biggest event in their history this weekend. That's going to be at the Gas South Center in Duluth. I have been credentialed as media representing ESPN 106.7. So I will be covering it. And shout out to the shout out to the folks at the Gas South and All Elite Wrestling for including in me. And it looks like we're not going to have conflicting Auburn media.
The media opportunity will be midday Wednesday, and I appreciate them listening. They were probably waiting for that. The Hugh Freeze's weekly press conference will be Mondays at 11.
Oh, you think they forgot until they heard us talking about it?
They were just like, they wanted to make sure that some of us could be there.
So we got something Wednesday, you said?
Yeah, Wednesday sometime midday. It hadn't been decided yet. It depends on the schedule.
Nothing tomorrow.
Nothing tomorrow. Wednesday is a pointing out. Thursday is the first Tiger Talk. And then press conference on Monday with players to follow depending on their schedules. Could be some players once we get into the season. Could be some players on Tuesday.
So not a lot the next...
No, 10, it's going to be, nothing else for the rest of the week. Wednesday and then Monday. Hugh Freeze's press conference Monday.
And very important, premiere of Tiger Talk.
I said a lot of quotes.
I said that.
The premiere of Tiger Talk, you got on Wings 94.3? Okay, good. Wanted to make sure we got that in there because the Auburn Sports Network, you can hear right here on the Auburn Network family stations, Wings 94.3 and AU 100 this season. Tiger Talk, football, and men's basketball on Wings 94.3, women's basketball and baseball on AU 100.
334-321-1390. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Matt is up next. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. A couple of quick questions. Are the coordinators, both of them, going to be in the coach's box, or are we going to, and the head coach on the sideline, obviously, are we going to have the offense coordinator? I guess both of them be up top.
I don't think anybody's asked that I know of, but that's kind of what I'm expecting.
I think Hugh Freeze had said over the summer that he thought Philip Montgomery would be in the box, but they want to see who's comfortable with what. I really haven't heard much talk about where Ron Roberts is going to be. But, I mean, it's not unusual at all for coordinators to be in the box.
Right. I was just wondering, sometimes
it's a good question for us to ask.
Staff wants to... The offense coordinator wants to look the quarterback in the eye sometimes and say, you know, what. So that may be something that changes. Defense coordinator would be shocked if they weren't. But I also saw a quote of, I didn't hear it verbatim, but basically where Freeze was sort of throwing out there that if everybody would contribute a certain amount, you know, we would be able to be competitive in NIL. And I don't know if I've heard any other coaches openly asking for contributions for that. Is that something that everybody does? And I just haven't heard that.
Was it Coach Freeze that said that? I saw somebody post a number, but I didn't hear it when it was said, so I don't know.
Well, if you remember earlier this year, Bruce Pearl said it was more important for folks to be donating to right. NIL collectives
well,
than to places that renovate facilities and things, right? Because it become that's become the engine driving recruiting more than the arms race for the best facilities.
Yeah, what someone said was 60,000. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so the quote was 100,000. If 60,000 people gave $100 a year, we would be at the number we need to.
6 million a year.
Which we would
That's
need
right.
to be. Yeah, and I thought it was the coach that said that, and if so, I would be a little bit surprised. Although, I mean, you got to do what we got to do, but I don't know if that's something we need to
I don't think that's anything that would be – I don't think that's anything that would get him in any kind of hot water saying that.
I think you're going to be better off finding one person to give you $6 million.
Well, I think what the story talked about is that 20 or 25 people are contributing all the money. Yeah. That's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's right. That was part of it, too. Yeah, I think – yeah. So maybe he was just trying to make a broader statement about the whole – And I think, don't you think that'll help if we win a few games and get a little momentum?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe, that'll help all of that, not just, you know, recruiting players, which was my last question. I'll hang up. Thanks for taking my call. The question was, during the season, starting now, do they back off from recruiting and concentrate on the game prep, or can they still have people come in and watch practices and give offers and so forth? Thanks.
Well, that's an interesting question. The month of August is a dead period for college football recruiting, so no prospects are allowed on campus. No face-to-face contact is allowed. You can, of course, talk to them on the phone or text them or however you communicate with them.
And it's also very unlikely that kids would be able to come in once high schools get started, right. Unless they're like across town, you know, but something like that.
Once we get to September and the games start coming around, then you're back to a quiet period where kids can come and visit, and of course there'll be kids coming into every single home game here at Auburn and going through that process.
Yeah, but this staff is not going to. I just can't believe Hugh Freeze is going to disregard recruiting to just work on game plans. You got to do both.
Yep,
that's just something you have to. That's yeah. why you have as big a staff and you focus on both things. I mean, you have yeah. to be able to focus on both things.
And more so than any staff Auburn's had in quite a while, Hugh Freeze and his staff put a lot of effort into recruiting 24/7, 365. You have to have the success they're having right now.
We'll get to our first break right back with more of your phone calls as we continue here on the Monday Drive.
In 1934-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. 21 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Monday, and back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Chris is next. Hey, Chris.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey there. Good to hear from you.
Great. Hey, look, it is so good to have you guys streaming, because up here in, as I call it, Bamberham, it is so nice to listen to the drive.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah, glad you're enjoying the show, Chris.
Yes, always. My question was about the NIL, and I know there's, you know, all these questions about it, but, you know, you see, like, over the weekend, the kid out of Mississippi commits, and they talk about, well, the, you know, Ole Miss NIL was strong or whatever, but even for us, the guys that we've got, you know, we look at, well, they still got to sign. My thing is there contractual obligations for these kids when they like go with an NIL fund from us or whatever other team, for them, if they flip, do they owe this money back to the other school? How does this stuff work?
No, they only get the money if they're at Auburn and on scholarship,
right,
or at whatever school.
So as I understand it, if they leave, they just they then don't get any more.
Right.
But they up to that point, I guess they're good.
And there are people who believe that that's one of the things speeding up early enrollment, along with the that allows
right.
you to be
get
able to
get your money faster.
But if you graduate high school a semester early and enroll in January, if you made an NIL promise on the recruiting trail, you can earn that money in January rather than waiting until you're enrolled in the fall term.
Okay, so none of these kids are getting money once they commit.
Well, they are not supposed to until they enroll.
I mean, look, I have yeah. I
don't say yeah. none.
We are not. We are not.
Oh, yeah.
Did they get any money when they committed 5 years ago before NIL showed up?
Of course
yeah,
not.
Oh yeah. Oh no. That, no
we are not wallet inspectors here, Chris. We do not know for sure, but yeah, by the rules.
Oh, I know.
These transactions aren't supposed to happen until they've enrolled.
Yeah, the mom and dad getting jobs and all that. I know.
Purely coincidental.
Back then, it's just
yes.
Yeah, it's
they
crazy,
earned it.
So. But and one other thing, I know Tennessee. Didn't they do a or are going to do a concert for their NIL, have a country star do a concert,
I believe,
or something?
That was talked about. I don't know if they went ahead or they're still going ahead with it, but I know that was talked about, yes.
Oh, man. That's genius. Every school in college football should be doing – like Farm Aid, right? Live Aid, but it's for their
see,
NIL.
Auburn,
it's for their NIL collective.
Jimmy,
right?
It's time to bring Jimmy back.
Oh,
I guess.
Man.
Yeah. Hey, Brian Matthews.
Yes.
Captain and Tennille.
Yes.
I don't know. How much money do you think you'd make off that, Chris?
Hey, we might.
That's what I think parrot heads would bring in a little bit more.
No, but what a great idea. I was
thinking,
you know, we need to maximize that stuff. Hey, Charles Barkley's got this vodka company up here. He needs to put out a dang Auburn NIL vodka. Start selling that thing.
Absolutely.
So we got to be creative.
You're right. You're right. Great stuff, Chris.
Well, enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hey, don't be a stranger. 334-321-1390.
We're on record about Jordan-Hare Stadium underutilized as a concert venue.
Absolutely.
For a stadium quality act. I feel like that's a thing once a year, and if you want to tie it into fundraising for the NIL, even better. But once a year, a stadium quality act should be coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium playing that thing in June, July. You think is that doable?
I'm just trying to think of who we're going to get.
U2. Pearl Jam. I don't know. Chili Peppers?
I don't know.
I don't know. You know, there's any number of ways. They've booked country artists in the past, right?
Absolutely.
That's a thing. The last concert was Chesney, the last like Jordan-Hare concert. That was a few years ago. But no, I think they could do something. Garth Brooks, obviously.
He did a stadium tour.
Nominate that one.
We went to Birmingham, so. Yep. All right, let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline.
Taylor Swift, of course, played Auburn years ago. She knows where it is.
I paid for Taylor Swift not to show up or Captain.
Oh, come on.
Not a Swiftie, huh?
So, Dan, I wasn't going to call, but I was reminded I've been working kind of hard, and now I'm sitting and looking at a beautiful view with the trees are now blocking the sun, and I can sit on the porch and watch all this out here. I went in and got my official U.S. Air Force post-mission opening tool, Type 1, Bay Thirsty, presented to me by none other than Lieutenant General Alan G. Peck, U.S. Air Force retired. And so I thought about you because, Dan, you lost a little bit. I always thought you were an expert. And I saw something yesterday that quite disappointed me.
I got to hear this.
I saw the fantasy baseball standings.
Uh-oh.
And that person shared with me whose teams were where.
Uh-oh.
Well, he banked an awful lot on some expensive holdovers.
Yeah, I mean,
he didn't want to let go.
A couple of caveats. I was an expansion team, going into the 2018-2019 season. So we had a year that didn't count in COVID.
So in 5 years.
Well, no, but compared to a lot of the other teams in the league, I'm still trying to catch up. But
you seem to be scoring like an expansion team this year.
Well, we're going to finish strong. All right, I loaded up on Dodgers, thinking that August and September will be our time.
I'm sorry, Bill. We had some visitors about a 40-minute drive north of Auburn yesterday, and he pulled it out, and I was asking about it, and we were talking about Dan. And I said, well, he really knows baseball, and he just smiled and pulled out the standings. So
now, you can know baseball and still have a bad fantasy. You know, sports, no bad fantasy.
Now, is this the
league? Quit defending him, Bill. It's more fun if you pick on it.
Is this the league? Bill, now, is this the league Bill was in, or because I did join another league as an emergency replacement for somebody else. But in the league Bill's in.
Is this the Greystone League? Is that where we're talking about Texas?
This is in the league that Bill and his partner.
That's the Greystone League.
Okay, yeah, I have fewer excuses in that league.
Yeah, so I just had to give you a little bit of grief, and then I forgot all about it till I saw my post-mission opening tool, which worked perfectly.
You know, the general is a neighbor of yours up at the lake now. I haven't seen him though. You got to see the place. We've got some family coming to town this weekend to check it out.
All right, cool. So a couple other things, Brian. Have you ever been more excited about a team going into a season than you seem to be right now about this one?
Not in a while. Let's put it that way. First of all, the offensive line, you know, which is just something I've whined about for a while, right? And it has been a trouble, a sore spot for this team for a while, I think, has finally figured it out. And then I feel like they've got a quality quarterback and coaches that run a really exciting offensive system and a running game that's really deep and really powerful. So, yeah, I am excited about it.
I would say, especially coming off a season like last year, it's got to have been back in 82. I mean, it really does. I mean, because
that was going to be my comparison, Bill.
I mean, really, because what were the expectations in 2013? What were the expectations in 2010?
Right. Any season or first year season?
No, but I'm saying coming off of a disappointing season, where the expectations in 2004, they were like, well, that team couldn't do it in 2003 when they were really highly touted. I really feel like that excitement coming off of a disappointing season or a non-winning season, you'd have to go back to 82.
There was excitement going into 2009 because things were different from 2008, but it's not exactly the same thing. I think people were more apprehensive. I mean, Chris Todd was the quarterback, and people wanted to see him improve on the season he'd had before. You know, Gus Malzahn's new offense and stuff like that. But
I think there's more excitement now than there was in 2009.
I would agree.
There's a lot of excitement. And, Bill, I was in Beard Eves the night that they introduced Pat Dye as the head coach. And I guarantee you 95% of the people in there had no clue who that was.
No, you're right.
The place went wild for almost the entire halftime. And he said, that's when he said stated again, how long is it going to take to beat Alabama?
Yep. 60
and he said
minutes.
60 yeah, minutes. Yeah, yeah. And the place erupted again.
That's,
I'm getting
that's the best
just
answer anybody's
that.
Ever given
but
about
I,
that.
I would,
when it had been 9 years.
But I would think that there have been years where, generally speaking, the expectations Auburn were significantly higher.
Most,
and that's where,
most times they weren't reached.
Oh, no, I know. And I would think of 03 and
03 was huge.
03 and for that matter 18 because you brought so much back 14. From the 2017 season. Yeah, the
14. Nick 14. Marshall's back after we played for the national title.
Yeah, you have a couple of
seasons. Well, Dan, I guess I asked the question the wrong way to Brian. have you ever felt this way about a team in the last 10 or 15 years, especially coming off of last year? There was a lot of excitement generated toward the end of the season when the coaching change was made. But the excitement that I hear just in people's voices when they call to talk about it is just – it's amazing to me. Hey, I got two other things. The question was asked by the previous caller about do kids in high school, can they get NIL? And the answer is absolutely yes, because the big donor for NIL at LSU is a big donor to University High, which they're, most of the time they're really good players go to LSU. He is definitely helping kids at U High,
but some of the NIL places might be careful about paying before the ink is on the contract, right? As far as like the player is a commitment versus a signee.
Well, this guy is such a geek. He's geeking so much over what the publicity he's getting from being the
big NIL guy on Twitter.
He could care less.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
So he owns 80% of the billboards in East Baton Rouge Parish. So He is pretty big into
where
it.
I mean, did he inherit something? I mean,
No, he's one of the largest liability
he looks young
in the country. I mean,
he looks really, really young.
Well, his son was the starting quarterback at U High for 3 years, and he's at LSU, but he didn't get any offers to play anywhere. But just the business he's generated. He has offices all over southern part and southwestern part of Louisiana. So he's very big, and you got to realize understanding the plants, the chemical plants, the petroleum plants, the trucking that goes up and down 10 and 12 through that area. Get Gordon. That's all you got to know. Kim Mulkey's on his billboards wearing her beautiful coat. So anyway, and there was one more thing now, and I forgot it. Oh, I just saw a update. It looks like the new seats, lower area between the dugouts, won't be available till 25.
Oh, I had not heard that text.
Yeah,
I neither.
Brian Matthews,
I knew they had already started and, you know, were taking a lot out. So,
well, it was posted on the Instagram for Auburn baseball.
Man, I didn't
updates
see that.
Of when things were coming, and a lot of it's gonna take through 25 to get to it.
Right. So, well, I knew that it was gonna take a while to get everything done.
Yeah. So, just wondered. All right, guys, appreciate the show. And after I leave this weekend, I guess I'll be back in the stadium the following Saturday.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, Tex. Thanks for the call. Need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Still time for you to join in here on the Monday Drive.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. And got a little clarification. Yes, apparently Coach Freeze did say that, and it was probably written from someone who was at the donors' dinner on Friday, because I got it from someone that said, yes, that's what was told to the donors, that Auburn could be competitive. And that's not an untoward, for the coach to say that to some donors. No, it's not like I don't think Coach Freeze said it to the media about that. But, I mean, you'd better know where you stand, you know, against your competition NIL-wise. But, I mean, I think the statement was 60,000 fans gave $100 a year. That would be something to sustain NIL.
Yeah, it sounds unsustainable, not just at Auburn, right? You wonder if that's something that
you're
gonna
be absolutely
able to,
right.
Like, and I, you know, I was saying earlier, you know, I wish, right? Like, if you go back, now you can wish cast in college football, and you think, like, oh, man, what if 10 years ago they decided this instead of this? Where would the sport be now? Mm-hmm. And would it be on, for the people who have sort of a pessimistic view of the future of where this thing is going and where conference alignment and evolving media, you know, could take this thing? You know, what if, you know, I really wish there was some way, and Brian, I don't think we're ever going to get it, but it's like if there was some way to divorce endorsements that players earn by excelling as college athletes from inducements to get players to pick a certain school in the first place, because they don't feel like the same thing. And I understand they're both part of NIL, but, you know, one of them is, you know, one of them is if a player does so well at quarterback at school A, and Nike or McDonald's or Gatorade, you know, want to give him an endorsement deal. You know, one of them feels like that, and the other one feels like, hey, here's a bunch of money if you pick a certain school on, you know, on signing day. And
yeah, I mean, I think Chris had a great question. You know, what are they supposed to do for that? What is the, you know, when they're getting that? I mean, like Tex was talking about players' names going up on the billboard. Well, at least it looks, you know, they're advertising that law firm. You know, I mean, I don't know. I guess you get creative and they're...
Oh, no. I mean, I think it's largely social media. It's social media advertising. You know,
appearances.
Players will post, yeah, players will post, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, I don't know. It feels like a lot of it is sort of a shell game to
right.
get, you know, to it's busy, you know, busy work. But I don't know, Brian, where are you on... the impact NIL has had, you know, now that you follow, you know, boots on the ground with recruiting?
I think it's good for college football overall, because I think eventually over time it's going to help spread out the talent more. I think that's a big plus. And also,
yeah, you wrote about that in your music.
Yeah, I did. And I'm not saying it's a perfect system, but I think we've been programmed over the last 100 years, and of course I haven't been around for 100 years, to believe that amateurism is an important thing or some nice thing we're supposed to hold above everything else, when I think it's just been a big lie and it's been shoved down people's throats for decades.
I don't have a problem with them getting paid.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that at all. But what I hear, and there are some people that feel like quit bothering me for my hard-earned money, and they're wondering what. And Dan and I were talking about this a little while ago during a break. I mean, some folks are like, what am I getting out of this? It's like, well, your team could be better, is what you hear, and you could be contributing to the success of your team. But for some people, it's hard to feel like, well, let me pinch, let's not go out a few times, and let me give something to a young man who's going to be making more money than I've ever made in my life.
Well, you know, Texas, because of a state law, and Texas A&M are able now to tie their money that's given to their NIL fund to seeding priority.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was a big step forward.
Urging folks not to do that, which is, you know, I'm sure that's there's causing some conflict between doing something that feels like it would help that is legal under state law, depending on where you are.
Yeah, you get something. That way you actually do, the more you give, the better your priority.
And that could be the way things are going, although there's a lot of people that don't want to do that because they think that's a step toward players being employees, which they seem to think is a terrible thing. And, you know, the sky will fall, you know, and rain, you know, lava upon us all if we call players employees, right? But yeah, I don't know that that's the worst thing in the world either. But I think there could be ways in the future to tie it into something like that.
Yeah, I just you know, I'm curious to see that. That's another part of the landscape where, it's changing, and it's. I mean, I still think back to, again, if you look back on what they could have done in the past, they being the NCAA and college football in general, like, I don't know if they saw this coming, could they have tried to? I mean, every solution creates new problems,
if
right? If you push for employment, if you push for,
well, you know what? How about if the NCAA years ago had said, okay, you can be a spokesperson or a representative. You can, you know, if it were only tied to commercial representation, then sure, there'd be some creative things, but you wouldn't be able to do it on the scale that it is now. It would be more tied to who has earned it.
Yeah, I mean, my issue all along, Brian, wasn't so much, I mean, it's the veil of amateurism is one thing, but I think especially in football, the notion that you only have one path to the NFL, and it's playing college football for 3 years, and you're prohibited from earning extra money on top. Like, that felt like an unfair system. And whether the solution is create a professional path for people who don't want to play college football but still want to go to the NFL, like, you know, fill that void somehow, or start compensating college football players more fairly, like however you do it. But I don't know. I'm nervous about the path we're on right now as NIL plays a bigger and bigger part of the of recruiting.
334-321-1390 is the Kia of Auburn hotline, and we're going back to it. And Jerry is next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I was just going to mention that 82 was my year that I was very enthusiastic after Pat Tye showed up. And first year I started buying season tickets.
Well, I mean, it was such a difference. It's funny. You look at the records and you go, well, Auburn had the same record in 80 and 81. They were 5-6 both years. But it was a night and day, the way Auburn played, the intensity, the emotion, and how they were in every game, even though they were overmatched so many times. And you knew, especially when you saw that signing class, the recruiting class that Coach Dye had, which was a tremendous class, that, hey, we're going to have some talent. We keep playing this way, we're going to beat some people.
Yeah, and we played Nebraska, played Texas. You know, the 83 team probably had the toughest schedule ever.
Yes, it did.
Toughest schedule probably for a team that went 11-1. Yes. I mean, there may have been some teams that had schedules like that, but they didn't win a lot of games.
Right. I just wanted to mention, too, what is the website for the NIL?
OntoVictory.com.
Yeah, the collective. OntoVictory is sort of the collective that has stepped in to become Auburn's most prominent.
Final few minutes here on this Monday. Still time for a couple of calls, though, and let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Chris is next. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Just two things. One, what you were saying about Texas A&M being able to give seat priority. The IRS actually sent those schools a letter and quashed that.
Yes, they did.
And they canceled that part of their program. As a donor, I don't mind kids making money off their name, image, and likeness.
Right.
If I had a business and they called me up and said, hey, will you let this guy do a commercial? I'm just not fond of the, hey, give me $100 a month so, you know, we can put it all in the slush fund and just pay. I mean, I think the original intent was, you know, if you want to sign autographs, you should be able to get money for that, but it's turned into paid for recruiting. And
oh, it's turned into a bidding war now. War chests
for different NIL collectives, you know, in case a player they want's on the market.
Thanks, guys.
Maybe we should advocate for a limit, you know, like the NFL or whatever.
Well, I mean, coaches, everybody's, not the players, but
yeah, exactly.
Coaches are like, hey, something, there's got to be something because it can't continue to increase at this level.
Well, we talked in the past about, and there are legal obstacles to this too, Brian, but I always thought one solution could come from, what if, especially in the case of football players, like, what if you decided football players were employees of the conference and paid them out of the conference media rights deal? Like, could you get around it that way? And that way you'd have every player on any team in the league getting the same amount of flat fee versus creating bidding wars for players from different NIL clubs. I think the genie's out of the bottle.
Yeah.
I think it would have taken years ago, you could have said.
That would have been something along the lines of, you know, the teams that want to sort of compete against the NFL. It's like everybody, this position gets this, that position gets that. But, yeah, I don't see how you do that now.
Now, I mean, but back in the day, right. what an idea that could have been. You say,
oh,
hey,
absolutely.
Carve X amount of money out of the media rights deal and pay it directly to every player in the league, everyone getting the same amount. Like, you could have tried to make that work, but now, yeah, there's. I mean, because anything you try to do now to block the amount of money a player can earn
is
going to get you in front of a judge.
Yep. Yeah.
And good luck with that one explaining, you know, why, because it's the best thing for the entertainment in college
but
football.
I mean, as Chris said, there are plenty of people that feel like, if it's helping, they want to help their team, but just feeling like, yes, I'm just giving a little bit that's going to go into this big pile that's going to go to some. It's going to go to somebody else, and I don't know if they deserve
it. This is shameless, but I'll say it anyway. If you want to help, sponsor this show and hire an Auburn football player to do the commercial. Like, I mean, among other things, but like, you want to help out that way, you can sponsor us, and then, you know, get some football player in the commercial. You can pay him to be the spokesman, and we get a little something too, but that part of it's immaterial.
One thing I want to remind everybody of, just because it's happening now under NIL doesn't mean it wasn't happening before NIL. It doesn't mean recruits weren't getting paid for signing with particular schools, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is now just above board.
Blue Chips is a 30-year-old movie.
That is right.
Nick Nolte, Blue Chips. William Friedkin just passed away. Also directed The Exorcist and The French Connection.
Yeah, well, just the general public wasn't being tapped for it, though, back then. It wasn't like we're passing the hat at ball games going, hey, Johnny's coming in next week.
No, only at secret meetings.
That's right.
Right.
Oh, man.
No, they only passed the hat when it was time to fire a coach. Like, that was...
That's always a tax write-off.
People were asking for that. They were asking us, like, please, can I help? All right, Brian, we're down to the final couple of minutes. We're into the, you know, the next to the last week before Auburn football. I mean, there's still plenty going on. Got got, you know, possible news in about 15 minutes.
Yes, Caleb Falk is announcing at Highland Home, which is just south of Montgomery, between Auburn and Alabama. And I think I saw a picture of Florida and Georgia are still on his
A lot of schools are very interested in the young man.
But I like Auburn's chances there a lot. His older brother's at Auburn now and just been over to Auburn a bunch in the last couple of years. So.
And then you've got the big safety, Patterson, is announcing Saturday, I believe.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I couldn't remember the exact date. But, yes, he's coming up. He's a five-star from South Florida. Certainly another one to watch. And then DeAndre Carter, his date's coming up, too. I think September 2nd, maybe?
Yeah, his is Labor Day. Right around Labor Day.
There you go.
So, and in the meantime, I mean, those stories and much, much more there at AuburnSports.com.
Yep. And you can follow me on Twitter, too. We'll have plenty of coverage of everything happening Auburn football and recruiting, including a potential commitment tonight.
Got a rundown
tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good deal.
Got nothing else going on tomorrow.
Well, as far as our ability for
number
media.
600.
Is that right?
Yep.
Oh, congratulations!
Well, listen to that special rundown.
Come to Voodoo for some cake if you like.
Well, you guys are out of there usually before I'm out of my office, but we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
All right, Dan and I are back tomorrow. It's the last day before he heads. See if he comes back from the big event Wednesday night.
I should be here on Tuesday and Thursday.
Okay, hope so. I guess I'll be back tomorrow, too. Maybe Drew. Hopefully you will. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.